1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1 here in just a moment. And we are talking about helps that we have in the Christian race. We went through those series of messages at the very beginning of the year, and we gave some illustrations and some analogies of the Christian race that God has placed us in the moment we trusted Jesus as our Savior. And a lot of those were from the Apostle Paul. And then we talked about some hindrances in the race, and now we've moved on to the subject of some helps that we have in the race. And several Sundays ago, we started on this, and we talked about how that we have the Spirit of God as our helper in the race. And then we have the house of God to be our helper in the race, a place that we can come to worship God and hear the preaching and the teaching of God's Word and have fellowship one with another, and again, give of our gifts so that God's work can be done. So we have the house of God, but then we also talked about how that we have the Word of God. As we read it and we meditate upon it and we memorize it, we have the Word of God to be our helper in the race as well. And then several Sunday nights ago, we talked about how that we have the presence of God. He is always with us, and His presence is there to give us help in the race. And then this morning, we dealt with the power of God, and we talked this morning, if you were not able to be with us, how that God's power is on display in creation, not only the creation of the world, but the creation of each and every individual as well. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, and so we see His power in the creation of the world, in the creation of each soul, and then His power is on display at the moment of our conversion as well. When we trusted Jesus as our Savior, we talked about the power of the gospel, and the preaching of the cross is power as well, because it brings people to salvation. And so we talked about the conversion of a soul. God's power is on display when souls are converted. When that 15-year-old boy got saved Friday, God's power was on display. When you go back in your heart and mind to the day you trusted Jesus as your Savior, God's power was on display. And then we talked about how that God's power is on display in the lives of Christians as well. We need His power to do His work. We need His power to do His will for our lives. We need His power to be the witness that He desires for us to be. And He left His Holy Spirit to give us all the power that we need. And we tap into that power source so that we can do the work and be in the will of God and be the witness that God wants us to be. Don't try to do things in your Christian life in your own strength. Realize that God's power is there to help you in the race. And then tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, I wanted to preach about another help that we have in the race. And tonight we're going to talk about the gifts of God. The gifts of God. And specifically, we're going to talk about spiritual gifts that God gives us to help us in the race, to be an encouragement to those that are around us and a blessing to the local church. And that's what we're going to see tonight as we look at our help in the race with the gifts that God gives to us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." This would be a chapter that we would go to help us to understand a little bit more about spiritual gifts and even see a list of spiritual gifts that are given in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. I know that when Brother Bush was preaching at Sunday school last Sunday morning, he talked about how that there are some chapters that you would go to for certain subjects. And certainly things are dealt with all throughout the Bible, but you would sometimes narrow a subject down to a certain chapter. He used the illustration of faith. We think about Hebrews chapter 11, and then we think about love, and we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then he happened to be preaching about faith, promise, giving, so he was talking about Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, the principles that are given there of faith, promise, giving. And we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and this would be the chapter that we would go to see a list of spiritual gifts that we can have and the way that God can use us with spiritual gifts. Look down, if you would, at verse number 4. He said, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." Now here's what we want to encourage you to do tonight when it comes to this help that we have in the race, the gifts of God. I want you to be encouraged as a Christian to get to a point where you prayerfully seek to recognize, or we could use the word identify, maybe we could use the word discover, the spiritual gift that God has given to you and use it for the purpose of benefiting your local church. So two words to try to remember there. The word discover. Discover the spiritual gift that God has given to you. I'd encourage you to do that, especially if perhaps you are not to a place where you've identified or discovered the spiritual gift that God has given to you. So discover it first, and then once you've discovered it, use that spiritual gift that God has given to you to help you in this Christian race as we desire to press on. Now, every one of us as Christians, we share the same purpose, don't we? We want to evangelize the world with the gospel. By the way, we talked about that all last week, didn't we? That's the purpose that God has. That's why we have a church here, so that we can evangelize the world with the gospel. That's why we had a missions conference last week. We want to concentrate on evangelizing the world with the gospel. And that's why we support missionaries around our country and around our world, because we realize that our purpose, not only here but around the world, is to evangelize, to give out the gospel. But even though as Christians our purpose is the same, we have, though, individually been uniquely gifted by the Holy Spirit, haven't we? To be a blessing to the church and those that are around us. And so I want us to look at some verses within chapter number 12 of 1 Corinthians. And I want us to notice some things that we have when it comes to spiritual gifts that will be our help in this Christian race that we're in. First of all, I want to start tonight by giving us a definition of a spiritual gift. Perhaps we could use many definitions to define what a spiritual gift is, but I want to give you a definition of what we would say a spiritual gift is. And by the way, while we're giving this definition, I think this definition will also answer another question. How do we obtain a spiritual gift? How do we have this spiritual gift in our lives? Well, the definition that we would want to present to you tonight is this: a spiritual gift is a supernatural ability that's given to us by God, and it's given to us by God through the Holy Spirit to individuals that are believers. So this is for the Christian, and this spiritual gift is given to us at the moment of our salvation, and then it enables us as Christians to serve Christ, and then through his local church. So there's a lot of different parts of that definition. It's a supernatural ability that God has given to us through his Holy Spirit. And it's something that's given to us as a believer at the moment we trust Jesus as our Savior. And it's for the purpose of serving Christ and the local church. Now I want to go back to a word that's given in that definition so that we can pause just for a minute at that definition and help us to understand one more truth that we see in this definition. We said that it's a supernatural ability that's given to us by God. Now, I want to pause at that word given. God gives this spiritual gift to us. If we are reminded of the fact that God gives us this gift, then there would be no reason for us to ever boast in this gift, would there? God is the one who gives this gift to me, so it's not something that I would boast in, but I would realize that I'm just an instrument. And God is the one that gives me the power to take this ability, this ability that he has supernaturally given to me to use for the purpose of being a blessing to Christians and being a blessing to the local church that God has put me in. So let's never boast in our spiritual gift that we have, but instead realize that God gives it to us, and his power is the reason why we're able to have this spiritual gift. Here's what I want us to understand as well, I guess by way of another thought. When we would think of the definition of a spiritual gift, don't think of a spiritual gift as a physical talent that God has given to us. A physical talent would be something that would be a human or a natural ability that might be given to us at birth. But remember back to the definition, we told you that the spiritual gift was something that's given to us by God through his Holy Spirit at the moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. So I believe it would be possible, when the Holy Spirit enters into our lives, that the talent that we have could be transformed into a gift and we could use it for the purpose of glorifying the Lord. But let's not get confused when we think about a spiritual gift and compare it to a talent, I believe a spiritual gift, in that definition, we could see it's something special that God gives us through His Holy Spirit for the purpose of being a blessing to our local church. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to give you some truths that we want to remember about spiritual gifts tonight. This helper, this help that we have in the race, the gifts that God gives to us. And so let me give you some truths tonight to remember about these spiritual gifts that we're talking about right here from 1 Corinthians, or at least most of our verses tonight will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. The first truth I want to share with you tonight is this. Each believer, this is encouraging, possesses at least one spiritual gift. Isn't that an encouragement that as a believer, we each possess at least one spiritual gift? God's given a spiritual gift to everyone that is saved. That's an encouragement, isn't it? Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go down to verse 7. It says this, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many men? Every man, to profit with all. Then if you would, look down to verse number 11. And I want us to notice something at the end of verse number 11 as well as we read through it. But look at what it says in verse number 11. It says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to how many men? Every man, severally as he will. Here's what we want to notice at the end of the verse there. Not only does every believer possess at least one spiritual gift, but they are distributed to us in accordance to whose will? The Holy Spirit's will. God's will. So it's not my will as these gifts are being distributed, but the Holy Spirit's will, or as He sees fit. We could say it this way, it's His sovereign choice, isn't it? To give to us the gift that He wills or He sees fit for our lives. And then look, if you would, at verse number 18, same chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 18. It says, but now hath God set the members, now notice this, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased Him. So every verse that we saw had the word every in it, which means that each believer possesses at least one spiritual gift and possibly even more. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we see the list of spiritual gifts that are given. We can go to another chapter of Scripture and you can look there later. You can look at Romans chapter number 12 as well, and it'll give you a list of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us as believers. But every believer possesses at least one spiritual gift. But then here's truth number two. Truth number two that we want to see from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Spiritual gifts are unique to each individual Christian. Spiritual gifts are unique to each individual Christian. So what we mean by that is this, that God gives to each of us at least one spiritual gift, certainly possibly more, but it's possible for them to be different. So we have our own unique individual spiritual gifts that God gives us as an individual Christian. Now we noticed the word every in the verses that we read just a moment ago, and now we're going to notice some other words as we go through a few more verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Look at verse number 4 if you would. He says in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 4, it says, now there are diversities. So we want to notice that word diversities there of gifts, but the same Spirit. So as we see that word diversities, remembering that spiritual gifts are unique to each individual Christian. And then notice verse number 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. So the word diversities in verse number 4, the word differences in verse number 5, and then look at verse 6 if you would again. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So each member of the church is unique, and each member of the church is important. There is not one individual that we would say would be less important than another one. So here's what we have to understand about spiritual gifts. God gives every one of us at least one spiritual gift. Certainly we've said it, but possibly more. And then spiritual gifts are unique to each individual Christian. And so when we put those two thoughts together, it would help us to understand this, that no one in the church is able to do everything, but everyone can do something, can't they? And that's where we are considering the help that we have in the race of our spiritual gifts. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something for the glory of God. And everyone can do something for the good of this ministry that we have in this local church that we are gathered in. And so let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, because I want us to notice that because of the great diversity of spiritual gifts, it brings a great unity in the body of Christ. That means that if we all are willing to take the spiritual gift that God has given to us and put all of these spiritual gifts together, we can get the complete work of this local church done, can't we? We can be in unity in Christ, although things are different as far as gifts are concerned. But we're one body, aren't we? With many members. So I want you to notice a physical illustration that's given. And I know you've looked at this before. I know you've read this before. But it's a physical illustration that's given that helps to teach us something spiritual. Look at what it says in verse number 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." So this body being one, but it has many members. The body of Jesus Christ, one, but yet many members. And then it says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Again, back to the illustration physically, but thinking about it spiritually. We're one body of believers, but yet there are many, many spiritual gifts that we put together to get God's work done. Look at verse 15. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the eye shall say, because I am not the eye," or the ear, "because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" So he uses the illustration of the foot and the hand in verse number 15 and the ear and the eye. And it's saying, because I'm not the eye, does that mean the ear would say I'm less important? Because I'm not the hand, would the foot be able to say, well, I'm less important? No, there's one body, but all members. And God created us in a unique way, knowing that our arms would be used for certain purposes. Our hands would be used for certain purposes, and our eyes and our ears. Look at what it says in verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him." Then it says in verse 19, "And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Now I want to pause there for just a minute, and I want to ask you a question perhaps with this physical illustration. Would you be able to pick out a part of your body and say, well, this would be one I could do without? We wouldn't say that about any of the members of our body, would we? Well, I really need the ear, and I need the hands, and I need the feet, but I could do without the eye. We wouldn't speak that way, would we? We would realize that every one of the parts of the body that God has given to us, every member, is so important. And that's what we would say about the local church. We're all unique, and every one of us are important to get the task done, to get the job done, to make sure that we're the lighthouse that we need to be in this area, and to keep the doors of God's house open, and keep doing all of the, keep being able to be a part of all the ministries that we have here in our church. But then I want you to look back at where we left off, because in verse number 22 and following for the next few verses, he begins to share something very important to us. I want you to notice this as we go through verse number 22 and the next few verses, that we're not to get to a place, spiritually speaking now, where we compare our spiritual gift with the spiritual gift of someone else. I wouldn't want to look at my spiritual gift and say, well, mine is less important than someone else's spiritual gift. Or for you to look at yours and say, I'm comparing it, and it seems as if mine is not quite as important as someone else's. Or to go the other way and say, well, I'm more needed than another individual. Brother Womack shared that with me during one of the meals. He said one of the difficulties that he had with surrendering and going to the mission field to South Africa is that the devil began to plant this thought in his mind, well, I'm the youth pastor of this church, and I'm not sure if they'd be able to find somebody else to take over for me. We all have a replacement, don't we? We all have somebody that can fill our spot, so we never get to the place where we say, well, mine is more important than somebody else. Certainly the church needs me. And so we wouldn't feel that way. And so let's look at verse 22. Let's not compare our spiritual gifts. Look at what he says in verse number 22 of chapter 12 again. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. The ones that we might look at and we might say, well, they're not as important as other ones. Maybe perhaps in your mind, the thought has been planted, well, I'm doing what I do for the Lord. This is my spiritual gift, but it doesn't seem to be quite as important. It's necessary. It's unique. It's an important spiritual gift that God has given to each and every one of us. And we need to all come together to get the work done, don't we? Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. We're all unique. We're all important. And then could I finish with just two more verses? It says in verse 26, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So what's he saying here? He's saying that spiritual gifts are unique to each and every individual Christian. Let's realize that the spiritual gift that God has given to us is unique. It's very important. We wouldn't compare it to somebody else and feel that we are less important, or our task is less significance than somebody else, because God says it takes one body but many members to get the task done. And then number three, we're giving some truths about spiritual gifts. We said number one, each believer possesses at least one. And then we said, number two, that there are unique differences in the spiritual gifts of each individual Christian. But then number three, I want you to understand this. There's a purpose for your spiritual gift. There is a purpose. As a matter of fact, it's laid out right here in this passage. But then we also are going to turn to another passage. But I want you to look, if you would, at verse number seven. Notice this, back to the beginning of the chapter there, or at least the top part of the chapter there, verse number seven. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. What's the purpose of our spiritual gift? To profit, to build up, to edify, to strengthen the local church. Someone once said it this way, we have been gifted to gift. God has given us a gift so that we can gift that to somebody else. We have been gifted to gift. Think of spiritual gifts, perhaps, that you would say, those are gifts that are a profit to the church. That's what he's saying here. We want you to, he's saying the spiritual gift is to be used for the purpose of profiting the local church. Think of spiritual gifts that you could say would profit the local church. How about individuals that have musical gifts that God has given to them, where they can get up and be able to provide the music in a service? How about individuals that are givers? God has given them a special ability when it comes to giving, and they're able to give in a great way. Think about an encourager who comes along inside of a local church and is such a blessing, and they profit the local church and the work of the Lord. Think about a teacher, a preacher. Think about a servant of the Lord who comes along as a servant, not looking to be served, but just saying, I want to be a servant, and to serve the Lord in whatever capacity that's needed inside of the local church. The profit that an individual that uses that spiritual gift is to the church. Can I say this when we think about the purpose of our spiritual gift? For the purpose of profiting, but remember this, it's not to profit us. It's to profit others. never consider your spiritual gift just for the purpose of making it so that it's better for us. But we profit, the profit is not for us, but it's for somebody else. It's for the furtherance of the gospel so that God's work can get done and we can multiply his kingdom. But then can you look at one other purpose of our spiritual gift? Would you turn back to 1 Peter chapter number 4? And let's look at verse number 10 and verse number 11 of 1 Peter chapter number 4 to give us another purpose of our spiritual gift that we have that is a help in the race. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10, it says this, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." By the way, the only reason we have a gift is because of the grace of God. Only reason we have salvation is because of the grace of God. Only reason we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us is because of the grace of God. We have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Look at what it says in verse 11. "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." Now here we go. "That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." What's the purpose of my spiritual gift? To profit. I'm going to profit the church, the local church, the work of the ministry. And then what's the purpose of my spiritual gift? So that God can be glorified. So that he can get all the glory and he can get all the praise. It goes back to what we said a moment ago. It's not to profit us. It's to profit others. And it's for the purpose of bringing glory to God. Then number four, I want you to see this, the fourth truth that we want to remember tonight. Number one, we said that every Christian would have at least one spiritual gift that they can use for the Lord. And then number two, we said these spiritual gifts that we have are different as individual Christians. We have different spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And then we looked at the purposes of our spiritual gifts. But number four, I want us to notice this. It is possible for us to abuse our spiritual gift. You say, well, how would it be possible for me to do that? Well, by not using the spiritual gift God has given to you. God's given us a spiritual gift that he desires for us to use, but we just set it on the shelf and we never use the spiritual gift that God has given to us for the purpose of being a blessing and for the purpose of strengthening the local church and for the purpose of bringing glory to God. So we would abuse that spiritual gift if we do not use the spiritual gift that God has given to us. And then perhaps we could abuse the spiritual gift by attempting to use a gift that God has not given us to have. There are certain special spiritual gifts that God has given to individuals, and perhaps it may be one that you'd look at and you'd say, man, I really would desire to have that spiritual gift, but God hasn't given that one for you to be used with. And so let's make sure we use the spiritual gift that God has given individually to us. But then remember where we're at in this passage of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We have to remember that we're right before the passage of Scripture that goes into 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. And it talks about love, doesn't it? Or the Bible uses the word charity over and over and over and over again in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and when this chapter comes to a conclusion, we move right into that great charity or love chapter. Here's a way that we can abuse our spiritual gift: by not using that gift in love. By not using it in love. Not only can we abuse it by not using it and then attempting to use a gift that maybe God has not given us to have, but then to not use our gift in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, we see that great love chapter. And no matter what gift we have, if we do not have the Christ-like character quality of love, what does the Bible say we are? We are nothing without love. We're like sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, it says, doesn't it? We're nothing without having this spiritual gift that God has given to us and using it in love. Let's have the same character quality that the Lord Jesus Christ had and use our spiritual gift in love. But then can I finish with number five? I want us to look at the very last verse in the chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And look with me, if you would, at verse number 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at just the very first part of this. But the last truth about our spiritual gift that I want to share with you tonight is the same truth that I shared with you at the very beginning. I gave two words. We need to discover our spiritual gift, and then we need to use it. And so I want to encourage you here at the very beginning of verse number 31 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 that we need to discover it and we need to use it. Look at what it says at the very beginning of this verse. But covet earnestly the best gifts. Seek God to discover what your spiritual gift is. All right, so how do I seek God? Well, I'm going to have to pray. Lord, what spiritual gift through your Holy Spirit have you given me to use for your honor and glory in the local church? It may be that we spend some time in His Word. It may be that we seek some counsel about what spiritual gift God has given to us to be able to use for His honor and glory. It could be maybe perhaps that an individual, I know there are so many of them that perhaps you could go to, or maybe some have done it before, but there's spiritual gifts test that individuals can go to. And just by looking at a few questions that you can answer or a few things that would be true of your character, it would help you kind of to narrow down, hey, this is the spiritual gift that God has given me to use for His honor and for His glory. And so maybe it'd be as simple as taking a test for your spiritual gifts and saying, God, what is it that you would have for me to do when it comes to a spiritual gift? Notice back up to verse 31 again one more time. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. I truly believe that the Holy Spirit desires to give to each of us the best gift. He desires to give us the one in which will help us to be most useful. That's what He desires from us, or for us to give to us. But do we desire to discover our spiritual gift? And not just to discover it and put it to the side, but discover it and use it for the honor and the glory of the Lord as we press on in the Christian race. This is a help that God has given to us. So let's take this spiritual gift, the gifts of God that He gives to us. Perhaps it may be a spiritual gift that you have. Maybe for some you'd say it's spiritual gifts that I have, and I'm able to use these for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So let's take these truths tonight when it comes to the help that we have in the race, and let's apply these so that we can have the gifts of God that He desires to give us through His Holy Spirit, so that we can encourage others around us. We can help the work of the local church to go on. We can see many souls come to know Christ as Savior and do the work of the ministry that God desires for us to do right here in our city. And so let's come together as members of this body and to use these spiritual gifts that God has given to us. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes tonight? And maybe in this moment of invitation that we'll have here in